Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thou, the Almighty God that inhabits eternity, you think it fit and to bless your children that we are two or three of them shall gather together in your name, you will be there. So by that infallible, unfailing promise, we know you are here, and we just reverence your name, Lord. Father, we thank you, we glorify your name. Thank you for bringing us together in fellowship. Lord, we know in Acts chapter 16, there are only two of them. All that great persecution, beaten for doing nothing but doing the right thing, preaching the gospel. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. They said they were even so blessed to have suffered so much for your name's sake. The Bible says they sang at midnight. They weren't singing quietly. They sang so loudly that the prisoners heard them at midnight. And the angelic visitation came through. The chains were broken. And every man's bone was loosened. And, oh Lord God, there was even an earthquake in there that shook the prison. In Acts chapter 13, there were at the church at Antioch, the Bible says, certain prophets and teachers, they were five in number. The Bible says, as they were ministering to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work which has not told them to do. The Bible says, and they laid their hands upon them, and they sent them forth. So now we are saying that 2 qualified people to send the gospel to the whole of Asia and Europe. Paul and in that one meeting, only 5 people are present, ministering to the Lord. They don't pray about anything, just minister to the Lord. From there, the gospel goes to the whole of Asia and Europe for that one meeting. We are saying God does not deliver by number. One time you call Gideon, lost so many thousands, I don't know how many thousands of them and so forth, so that they do not say that they got this victory over the Midianites by their number. You cut them down, you know, and so that they may know that it's God. So all over the Bible, so we see, oh Lord God, even, you know, Jonathan, the son of Saul, so that they may know that God does not deliver by number. So we know you are here this morning, and you have heard our cry and our prayer, so you have inhabited it, and so we are grateful. Even not only that you are in our midst, even we are saying we are in the company of innumerable number of angels. So we thank you for this, you know, this morning, bring us together in fellowship. Now we just share with you in the scripture here this morning, and we, you know, ask as we bless the reading of your word. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise be the Lord. Where today is Father's Day, we said, and where all the fathers in the house and everywhere, we salute them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we command the blessings of the Lord upon all. Well, it's a wonderful thing to know, we that are Christians, that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 8:6, to us there is but one God, the Father. There is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. That is 1 Corinthians 8:6. So we believers, we Christians, to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Right there, he even revealed the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He repeats the same thing one place, he called him the Father, God the Father. And again, he said the Lord Jesus Christ. Even right there, he showed they are one and the same. In so many Bible verses, the Lord will say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. What else do you want? He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Someone says, show us the Father and suffice us. Have I been so long with you, or is Philip? Have I been so long with you? I don't even
know me. So it's so easy, Father and Son. Now also, we know as Christians, there is, in Ephesians 4:6, there is one God and Father of all. Father's Day, right? So let's see it in the Christian perspective. Thank God for the human fathers and so forth. So to us believers, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all, our Heavenly Father. This Father we have, you know, our Heavenly Father is above all, and through all, and in you all. What a wonderful Father we have. No earthly Father can ever love like him, you know, unless that earthly Father has the love of Christ in him. He is in us. He is in you as a child. I mean, through you, through me, and in all of us who are called by his name. That's our Heavenly Father. One God and Father of all, meaning all believers. The Father of all believers, right? He is above all, and through all, and is in us all, our Heavenly Father. How great he is. How infinite, you know, is his understanding. The Bible says they are infinite. In Romans 8:16-17, the Spirit itself, or I want to call it himself, not man, what, you know, the King James Version said, Romans 8:16-17, the Spirit in himself, I will say, direct witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So we are the children of God, right? Our Heavenly Father. After the resurrection, say to Mary, you can't touch me now. I won't go to the Father yet. I go to my Father and to your Father. He said, I go to my Father and your Father. So we see now it's our Heavenly Father. When they ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, what did they say? We pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, he said, hallowed be thy name. So it's our Heavenly Father. So we are heirs of God. We are children of God. We are heirs of God and joined here with Christ. You and I can thus say with our Lord Jesus Christ in John 16:15, all things that the Father has are mine. You can claim because you are a heir of God, right? And you are joined here with Christ. If the Lord said that all things that the Father has is mine, and you are an heir of God, and you are joined here with Christ, you can claim the same thing. God, I go to my Father and your Father. So all that God has belongs unto you and I. So we know that. Now, talking about Father today, right? So we know that, we do not celebrate our Heavenly Father just one day in the year. We celebrate him every day. Where? They call it Father's Day, right? Some spell it officially as Father's, meaning Father, apostrophe, and S. Others don't put an apostrophe, they just say Father. If you put apostrophe on it, you say Father's, as if the Father owned the day, right? And that the debate officially is called Father's Day with apostrophe, right? Because they are honoring one Father, right? Others say Fathers without apostrophe doesn't matter. But our own Heavenly Father, he is the real Father, really. But we say the Father of us all. And he alone owns the day. See? He created the day, right? And he created every day, right? So he owns the day. So we celebrate him every day, not once. It's okay to honor our Father on earth, you know, like they do. It's a good thing. Bible will say, honor your father and your mother, right? Bible says that your name is long on heart. So we know that God didn't oppose this kind of a thing. People honoring their earthly father. But we are saying that our Heavenly Father, we honor him just, not just one day a year, but every day. And he is the real owner of every day. Because why? He is the creator of every day. So we have to honor him every day. Psalm 118:24 says it. This is the day which the Lord has made. See, He made every day. You know, thank God for earthly fathers, but our Heavenly Father is the creator, and He is the real owner of each day, because He's the creator. How the Bible says, so we rejoice in every day that only Him alone has made. The scripture did not leave us in darkness as to how to celebrate our Heavenly Father. So as we honor the Heavenly Father today, let us remember we have to celebrate our Heavenly Father every day. David said, "When I live, I will bless the Lord." So the Bible shows us many ways how we can celebrate our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 5:20 shows some of the ways how we can celebrate our Heavenly Father every day. Ephesians 5:20. Give me thanks always. Notice the word always. And for all things, not some things, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we celebrate Him. Give me thanks always. Not when we are happy. Not when whatever situation we have on earth, maybe we make profit in our trade. Maybe you have abundance, blessing coming in and so on, that you know. If you give it thanks, always, for all things, not when we are at peace, always, the Bible says, unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we celebrate Him. Another scripture says in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's how we celebrate Him, giving thanks unto the Father. Get another scripture in Colossians 3:17. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's how we celebrate the Lord. That's how we celebrate every day our Heavenly Father. David knew the secret. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Whether I'm at war, whether sun is chasing me around, you know, whether gag against me and so forth. You know, he said I will bless the Lord at all times, you know. So Apostle Paul knew how to do it. He said, I know how to abound. I have to suffer need in every situation and so forth. I praise the Lord. So that's how to celebrate our Heavenly Father. While we salute the Heavenly Father and bless them in the name of the Lord, I just want to put out more notes here that I just read to you now. We have to celebrate our Heavenly Father every day. He is the creator of each day. And the way to celebrate Him is to give thanks unto Him. In fact, I think it's Psalm 50. What shall I render unto the Lord? So, you know, He that praises me, glorifies me. That's how we celebrate the Lord. That's how we can really give to Him, really. By praising Him. Every other thing He gives to us. He gave unto us life. In the Bible, that's what He did. He gave unto us life. Every other thing. David said, even when I've given God money, well, thank God that I gave God money. David said, out of that which You give me, have I given back to You, oh God? So what are you boasting about? What I give back to God is what He has given to me anyway. Out of what He has given to me, have I given back to Him? So the only thing you can really give God is praise. So don't forget that. We celebrate Him every day. Don't forget that He cares for you. In the book of Peter, I believe it is 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. God so much care for you. Do you know how many hairs on your head? He knows about it. How many hairs? You know, Bible says the hairs of our head are numbered. That is a caring Father, isn't He? He cares for you. So don't be intimidated by the enemy. They come boldly, as great as He is, as infinite as He is. So as a father, they think they are so big, they can even have a children and approach them. But our Heavenly Father, our Creator, not like that. He just invites you. Say, come boldly. Don't be timid. Come boldly. People think by being one kind, timid, and so it's holiness. No.
No. Holiness is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, even God himself, is your righteousness. So therefore you come to him with all, come boldly to the throne of grace. And in time of need, you will receive help, you know, as you worship him and celebrate him with thanksgiving. That's all we can really give to him. So, and he told us, our Heavenly Father, how much he loves us. He said that, what shall he not also with our Lord Jesus Christ freely give unto us? See? In what place? He said, all things are really yours, you know? All things are really yours through our Lord Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. You are an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Christ. So as you celebrate him every day, he will not withhold anything from you. Now I want to talk about, assurance in prayer because he loves you. Let's read the Bible, how he answered prayer for so many of his children throughout the ages. To encourage you, no matter what you need, no matter what situation you are in, he has an answer for you. See? Let's look at Matthew 21:21-22. Jesus, in Matthew 21:21-22 says, verily I say unto you, in the Orient, when they say verily, verily, mean that surely, surely, assuredly, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Oh, don't forget it. All things mean all things. You shall ask in prayer, believing. The Bible says you shall receive it. God says so. Can move any mountain by just faith. Like a mortar seed and so forth. So you can move a mountain. If it were possible, if need be, a physical mountain can even be moved. And we know at the coming of the Lord, man told if I believe will be splitted into two and so on that, you know. So, but if there's a need, so it could be a mountain of any kind of a need. Mountain can be figurative, right? Figurative in most cases. But as far as God is concerned, if there's a need to move a physical mountain, we do it too. But it's figurative, yeah. It could be mountain of finances, mountains of healing, your sickness will be moved away. Whatever. You see, it shall be moved. As you call upon the name of the Lord. Speak to the mountain, right? With this. Sometimes you have to, that is something like commanding prayer, you know. So these things are here for you and me. Our Heavenly Father, whom we should celebrate every day, we do all these things for us. Yes. Power to move mountains. That is what the Lord Jesus said in this verse that I just read to you. His promise includes that and even more. It includes all things. You know? Because he said, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. One thing God cannot do is to lie. It is impossible that God should lie. That's what he says. People say, oh, God can do all things. Well, that's one thing he can do. He cannot lie. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. If God lies, he will be doing what Satan is doing, right? So God cannot lie at all. Now, well, that promise sounds too good to be true, but it is, because God is true. So all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe it. That's the price you pay. Just believe. Like a little unless you come to God as a little child. How much you enter the kingdom of God, right? If they have to see God in their head, how did he eye God? I can't see him at all. As you know, no. As a little child, receive him and then enter the kingdom of God. So all things. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, the Lord God Almighty, so that you're going to receive it. So whether one is weighed down with a heavy body, it doesn't matter.
cast all your cares upon the Lord. He said all of it. Like I said before in 1 Peter, I believe it's 5, 7 and 8. Even I think in Psalm 55, I said cast your body upon the Lord and he will sustain you. That's our Heavenly Father. That is his nature. That is the divine nature, right? So, just encouraging you, no matter what you need, trust our Heavenly Father. If your Father is my Father, he said so, I go to my Father and your Father. So, and we can come to him with any problem and so forth. Or maybe there's an illness and something like that, you know, that comes to one. Or a member of the family, take it to God in prayer. Or maybe, you know, one has, you know, wrestling with embarrassing financial problem, make no difference to the Lord. That is the promise of our Heavenly Father to solve every problem. So whatever our need might be, at our fingertips, is the means by which we can solve every problem, all problems, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That what he said to you, he said all things, brother, all things that you may need, when you pray, believe, you shall receive it. Where to the sick, right, waiting upon you or around you to be released, is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we have multitude of promises of God as far as our healing is concerned. Even we are told that, as we believe in Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. We are to not only meditate upon these scriptures, we are to confess them. Even our salvation, how do we get it? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Even our salvation has to be by confession, right? We believe in our heart. If thou shalt believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, so that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the other thing we need from God is by the same process. You hear the word of God, the promise of God, you believe. Then you confess it with your mouth day by day. But you have to resist the devil always, right? That means you resist him always, you know. So anyway, because they will flee from you. Sometimes you resist him, he will go away. And of course, you have to come back again. You do the same thing pretty soon. So you have your freedom. Each time you resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has no option but to flee. So power to move mountains, yes, it's in your fingertips, it's in my fingertips, it's all wrapped up in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto us. So, we must learn the secret by which we may release this infinite power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know, just wishing for things to get better won't bring the results. So we probably have found that out many times. But the right kind of prayer, the kind that the Lord Jesus spoke about when he said, if you ask anything in my name, in John 14:14, that's an easy one to remember now. 14:14, that's an easy to remember, right? He said, if you ask anything in my name, the Lord said, I will do it. You know? He will bring you the answer without faith. These are the types of scripture that you memorize, say to yourself, you know, all the time. The Lord said that man shall live by every word, right? That proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4:4, right? So you say to yourself, the Lord said to me in Luke 14:14, if he has anything in my name, I will do it. So, you know, and sometimes God's people, their prayers are weakened because they think that what they are asking from the Lord is probably not the will of God. But everyone in this room, we know what the will of God is. Beloved, and which above all things that prosper and be in health. 3 John 2. So the Lord through this gave all these promises and so forth. We believe with our hearts, we confess them with our mouth. The Lord does not want us to reconcile ourselves to defeat and failure in our prayer life. He wants you and I to have tangible results from our praying, just as people in the Bible did. That's what he wanted. He wants to answer our prayers, you know, and give us some guidelines how to pray right in many parts of the Bible. So we know and thank God for every one of us here. We have learned our lesson. Prayer is not a last resort to turn to in an emergency. Well, you can also pray during an emergency. It shouldn't be the normal way of living. Prayer is an essential part of our daily life, of course. And we thank God for that. All of us have mastered this one. We just continue daring. So when we learn the secret of praying, our whole life will become a succession of miracles. That is what God wants for you and me. I thank God he did that for us. And we just continue praying. Learn also pray always right. And never, you know, to faint. You know, so sometimes last Sunday, talk about prevailing prayer, right? You know, you have to prevail. Don't give up halfway. You know, just because you have prayed once, things look or seem not to have come to pass. So that thing was prevailing prayer, and we see them. We saw, if I remember the message correctly, we saw Jacob prevail all night long in prayer with the Almighty God. I would say that he prevailed. Moses, he prevailed and saved his nation. Daniel prevailed, you know. In prayer 21 days, you know, he was laboring in prayer and so forth, you know. So prevailing prayer. Let us, get this straight. God doesn't want his people to reconcile themselves to defeat and failure in their prayer life. Like I said before, I want us to get tangible results from our praying. If I want to repeat this one again, just our people in the Bible and so forth. Anyway, let us look at some of the mighty answer to prayer the men of the Bible experience. That will take us a whole day, right? Let me just take a sample of them to encourage us. Of course, we are here because of many answered prayers. Every one of us here this morning, we are here because of many answered prayers. And God has never thought to answer our prayers. We believe in that he answers us all the time. The Lord said, I thank you, Father, because you hear me always. And that, I believe, is our testimony in this place. What I'm saying at this moment to continue in the same thing, you know. So let's look at some of the Bible miraculous answers to prayer. When Abraham, at advanced age, what we look impossible to man, right? It's always possible with God. With God, all things are possible. See? Abraham, at advanced age, desired God to give him a child of his wife Sarah. God miraculously stretched Sarah's womb so that she could bear him a son. What happened? God rejuvenated them. I will say, do you know that when Abraham moved from the promised land to Egypt because of the great famine, when God called him, he was 75 already. He was already old and so forth. But God said he's going to have a son by his wife Sarah. How come, if God has not really rejuvenated them, how come will the king of Egypt want to take and marry an old woman? Because God does all kind of miracles, wonderful miracles. They were rejuvenated. You know, they are past to puberty, they call it. Nothing is impossible with God, right? It's a miracle. Anyway, so You know, we know the story about Abraham, Sarah, God's special servant's womb, so that she could bear him in his son. When all medical evidence says it's impossible, right? All biological things say it is impossible. But with God, all things, meaning all things, are possible. He's the creator of all things, right? So we can learn a lesson from that. Even Abraham's grandson, Jacob, of whom we preached last Sunday about prevailing prayer, they called him a common adversary, meaning Jacob. But later, to become a prince with God. That was what we talked about last week, right? He wrestled with God in the night of prayer, while his brother Esau rode toward him with an army seeking revenge. He prevailed with God, and God prevailed with Esau. Genesis 32, 33 is part of our message last week. You know, by providence, it pop up here again this morning. Now, so we see that we see Abraham, we see his grandson, Jacob. I mean, against all odds. See? What is about how many of them? He has 11 sons, right? Meaning Jacob, when he left Padan Aram, coming back home, he had 11 sons because Benjamin has not yet been born, right? He has two wives, Leah and Rachel. And each of the women, they have a what? They have a housemaid. I don't know how many servants he has compared to 400 men that Esau came against him with. What chance in the whole world, you know? But prevailing prayer, you know? So anyway, let's see another example of answer prayer in the Bible. Jerusalem was invested by a superior force of Assyrians that had been invariably successful in all previous campaigns. Even they boasted to Ezekiah, the king of Judah at that time, "Don't let Ezekiah deceive you that your God will deliver you. Haven't you heard how we have defeated all the neighboring countries?" They wrote letters to the people of Judah. "Don't let Ezekiah deceive you that God will deliver you. Look at all the nations around you. We've defeated all of them." Anyway, nevertheless, the resources of Ezekiah were not much for this great army that invaded them. But Ezekiah prayed, and that night a plague of death struck the invading host, and by morning 185,000 men lay dead. 2 Kings 19, 15 to 35 verses, where that story is. 185. Without any man shooting an arrow from Judah, God Almighty. What is the odds against? What is the odds that Ezekiah was prayer, prevailing prayer? All with God, all things are possible. That is the message this morning. He is our Heavenly Father, and He loves us and so forth. Not even long after this same Ezekiah was sick unto death, so that in the natural order of things, there was no hope for his recovery at all. That is recorded in 2 Kings 20. But Ezekiah turned his face to the wall and pleaded with God. The result was that 15 more years were added to his life. So, you see, so with God, all things are possible. Elijah prayed for the widow's son who had died, talking and showing that with God all things are possible, right? So now, never before this time had life returned to any person after death had come. There was no precedent for raising the dead in all of history at the time of Elijah. Yet, the prayer of Elijah reversed time and called the dead boy to open his eyes and return to this world. I remember the testimony of that woman of Zarephath. "Now I know that the word of God in your mouth is truth." See? That was he told Elijah. When he brought that dead boy back to life again. No precedent of raising the dead. But the Lord God of Elijah was with him. and it took place. Daniel prayed for the restoration of Jerusalem, which had been lying in ashes since the days of Nebuchadnezzar's invasion. Jeremiah the prophet already prophesied that they are going to go into captivity for 70 years. Jeremiah 25, I believe it is. And it took place just as Jeremiah said, near the end of the 70 years, that's the 68th year of that 70 years that I was in Babylon. Begin to pray, call upon the Lord. Oh Lord, it's time to, it's almost 70 years now. According to Bible, they understood by the book. Daniel said that Jeremiah wrote that this people has to be here for only 70 years. Oh Lord, it's now 68 years. Begin to pray. And of God, it came to pass. So anyway, so before you know it, the faithful prophet Daniel lived to see King Cyrus make a decree permitting all Jews who wanted to return and rebuild Jerusalem. That's all in Daniel chapter 9. Just showing God's faithfulness, mighty answer to prayers in the Bible. And the Lord said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Lord is no respecter of persons. So we know. Now, let's get to two more. Peter, in Acts chapter 12, was cast into prison. And orders had been given for his execution. But the church prayed without ceasing, we are told, for his release. And lo, an angel of the Lord visited the prison and led Peter to safety. Don't forget, James, one of the apostles, had already been murdered. And so Peter was next to be killed, right? And they are only waiting for Easter to pass before they kill him. What a discouragement. When James, one of the two that is called the sons of thunder, Barnabas, was killed and so forth. What faith that the church has. Nevertheless, by divine providence, what order they won't kill Peter also when they are only waiting for Easter and so forth. They couldn't stop him from killing James. Well, they haven't learned their lesson at that time, right? They think the disciples were invisible. Oh, how we should pray for the ministers. They see them as invisible, they see that James was invisible, right? Now they learned a great lesson. Peter would have been killed right there too. But now learn to pray. And they got a miracle in their hands. As if Peter's life was extended more. He died later at the hand of Nero. You know that? Where the same wicked one that killed Paul. I think he has a life many years to minister to them. You know, I'm talking about, you know. Anyway, so we see, you know, what happened to him. So, where I can keep on going, I'll spend the whole day, I'll go through the Bible of answer to prayers. So we see again and again how God answered prayer for every conceivable need of his people and under every imaginable circumstance. And it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether it was a deliverance from sickness, or a miracle of supply, for preservation from danger, or for divine guidance, or for saving one from dying of thirst, like Gideon, or for needed wisdom in ruling a kingdom, like Solomon. No? And you know, God asked Solomon, what should I give to you? Oh Lord, when he was still in his own spiritual senses, Lord, I'm just a young person. Who can rule this your great people Israel? Just give me wisdom, he said, so I can rule these people and so forth. Oh, the Lord said, what a great request. You have not asked for the life of your enemies, that some will be doing today. You have not even asked for riches and wealth. You asked for wisdom. Not only will I give you wisdom, I will give you riches and wealth. There shall be nobody that as rich as you are before you, nor after you. So, you know, so anyway, so whether it's wisdom for building a kingdom, he got it by asking the right, praying the right prayer. So no matter what the need was, God supply it in answer to believing prayer. That's all we need, no matter what we need. And again, we thank you for what you have done for us in this place. We continue the same. We are actually already attained. The Bible says, let us mind the same thing. And let us continue the same work we have been working with the law in certain prayer, you know. The law of receiving is positive and certain. That's not if and what about it at all. That's why the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you. The Lord Jesus said, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And he that knocketh, to him he shall be opened. What does it really mean to us at all? It means that there is an invisible power about you and I, child of God, that is able to work out every problem, that power that will anticipate every of your need and my need, and supply whatever may be required. A power so great that it can move the very mountain if need be. Mountain of wants, mountain of whatever, even physical mountain if need be, as there, God doesn't do anything just for as a magician, you know, or as just to make a show, you know. No, if there's a need, God will meet them. So again, all this, I will stop right here. So as God is true, so the promise is true, his promises. Such answers to prayer can be ours too, if we will take time to learn the secret of successful, prevailing prayer, persistent prayer. Luke 18, the Lord taught us the prayer of importunity, right? That woman and so forth, you know, and the unjust judge. How much more we are Heavenly Father, answer his things that call upon him night and day. Surely he will answer them. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you because we are not alone. He said, I am with you always. Oh, a truth we often forget, especially when we are in distress. We think, we forget that we are not alone. We forget the Lord says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, he said, Isaiah 41. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. He goes on to say in the 13th verse, I am thy God, I will open your right hand, say unto you, fear not, I will help you. So we thank you, Father. We daily look unto the hills, daily says, from where cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And he has promised, even he that keepeth us will not slumber, as he that keepeth Israel, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our shade upon our right hand. The sun shall not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. We thank you for your infallible promise, Lord. In you, Lord, we live. In you, we move. In you, we have our being. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. And not five fathers took for two fathers, and none of them is forgotten before our God. Oh, how much better are we than the sparrows? Lord, we thank thee. Book of Philippians, our God, our Heavenly Father, shall supply all our needs, spiritual and temporal, health-wise, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Lord, we end the way we begin, by praising you. Bible says, bless the Lord, O our soul. All that is within us, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O our soul, as we sit here in this order this morning. This is our testimony. Who forgiveth all our iniquities? Who healeth all our diseases, we claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, who redeemed our life from destruction, who crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfy our mouth with good things, our youth being renewed at the evening. So we give you praise and thanksgiving. However much that we praise you, Lord, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days, our days, right to the coming of the Lord. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen.